Good morning for WBAI in New York. I'm Linda Perry with some of the news for Tuesday, November 18th, 2014. Police have released surveillance footage of a man suspected of shoving a stranger off a subway platform to his death. The 61-year-old victim was standing with his wife Sunday afternoon at a station in the Bronx. Authorities say that without warning, a man pushed him onto the tracks as a D train was entering the station. His wife told police the act was unprovoked. The lawyer for a French tourist says his client is sorry he climbed the Brooklyn Bridge to take photos. French citizen Jonathan Sawid was charged with reckless endangerment and criminal trespass. Prosecutors say Sawid climbed over a fence on the bridge's pedestrian walkway around noon on Sunday. He reached a cable beam connected to the tower on the Manhattan side. The New York trustee recovering money for thousands of investors says a $500 million settlement has been reached with two financial funds. They invested with Ponzi schemer Bernard Madoff. Trustee Irving Picard says in a U.S. bankruptcy court filing that he's recouped a total of $10.3 billion since the fraud was revealed in December 2008. The Met is opening an exhibition that focuses on the portraits of Paul Cézanne, made of his most frequent model, his wife. The exhibition, Madame Cézanne, opens Wednesday and runs through March 15th. 24 of the 29 known portraits of her will be on view. A new global study says there were nearly 10,000 terrorist attacks in 2013, 44% more than the year before. The London-based Institute for Economics and Peace says those attacks in 2013 resulted in nearly 18,000 deaths. Its Global Terrorism Index reported four groups dominated the attacks: the Islamic State Group, Boko Haram, Al-Qaeda, and the Taliban, and were responsible for 66% of the fatalities. It said Iraq was the country most affected by terrorism, with 2,492 attacks that killed more than 6,300 people. It said the Islamic State Group was responsible for most of the deaths in the country. The report said more than 80% of the deaths from terrorist incidents were in Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Nigeria, and Syria. Missouri Governor Jay Nixon has declared a state of emergency and activated the National Guard in advance of a grand jury decision about whether a white police officer will be charged in the fatal shooting of a black 18-year-old in the St. Louis suburb of Ferguson. Nixon said Monday that the National Guard would assist state and local police as needed in case there is civil unrest when the grand jury's decision is announced. In New Orleans, a conservation agency has announced more than $99 million in projects funded through a settlement resulting from the 2010 Gulf of Mexico oil spill, including more than $13 million for restoration work on Louisiana's coast. The National Fish and Wildlife Federation announced the latest projects on Monday. It marks the second round of grants from a program funded as a result of plea agreements between the U.S. Justice Department, BP, and Transocean. Alabama is receiving $9.6 million of the latest grants. Mississippi is getting $28.8 million for three projects, Texas $13 million, and Florida more than $34 million. An anti-slavery group, Walk Free, says nearly 36 million people worldwide, or 0.5% of the world's population, live as slaves. The group's Global Slave Index says India has the most slaves overall and Mauritania has the highest percentage. The total is 20% higher than for 2013 because of better methodology. The report defines slaves as people subject to forced labor, debt bondage, trafficking, sexual exploitation for money, and forced or servile marriage. It uses slavery in a modern sense of the term rather than as a reference to the broadly outlawed traditional practice where people were held in bondage and treated as another person's property. The Global Slavery Index's estimate is higher than other attempts to quantify modern slavery. In 2012, the International Labor Organization estimated that almost 21 million people were victims of forced labor. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. Rachel Nordlinger, chief of staff to the First Lady, Shirlane McCrae, issued a statement on Monday announcing that she decided to take a leave of absence to spend more time with her son. She says she can handle criticism and scrutiny of herself, but increasingly her son has been subjected to attacks that have nothing to do with the public interest. She and Mayor de Blasio decried what they portrayed as unfair scrutiny of a public official's private life. De Blasio said it bespoke a systematic effort to undermine certain work of his administration, comparing it to the 1950s era political witch hunts.
We've seen this, we saw this in the 1950s, we've seen this throughout the history of this country. If someone wants to smear people and use that for political purposes, there's a pretty easy playbook for doing it. It's repulsive, but it's become quite common.
Nordlinger has become a lightning rod for politically charged questions that have swirled around de Blasio's administration, particularly its close ties to the Reverend Al Sharpton. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.